You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 3 June. We've got CrowdStrike results after U.S. market close this evening. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. We had the telecom results. It's all about data. No surprises there. And actually, they're picking up on some fintech as well. But we also have Canal Plus listing on our exchange today. That, of course, after they took out MultiChoice. Nice to have listings. We'll see if Chantal has any interest. And then we're going to chat with Luno, the rise of tokenized equity assets, and they're attracting a younger crypto-first generation. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. SA posts a third straight primary budget surplus. Treasury exceeded its February forecast as revenue outperformed expectations and spending remained tightly controlled. Business Day, Bank of America sees rating upgrades for SA, but investment grade is still some way off. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.1%, NASDAQ up 0.5%. The East is mixed. We've got Sydney up 0.1%, we've got Tokyo 2.5% higher, Hong Kong down 1.7%, and Tencent off 4% after a massive Tuesday. Commodities also mixed. Gold futures red, 4,514. Brent is green, 96.79. Platinum is red, 1,939. And then palladium green, 1,395. Rand is 16.25. Bitcoin is 66,300. And top 40 opening call, a red open, 225 points or 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny now with Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments, where she is Head of Research. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. Telecom results. I mean, our telco sector generally has been doing fairly well in terms of share price performance, in terms of revenue, profits, results. And telecom, no real surprise. Market is liking the telcos and liking the numbers.
Yes, and telecom in particular is just such an interesting one because, I mean, think about 10 years ago, we weren't even talking about telecom. It was all about MTN and Vodacom. And telecom has really changed their business fundamentally. And what I found so interesting about these results was not that mobile data was growing quickly. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that the mobile business generally was doing quite well. But it seems that that balance between the fiber rollout and the old school fixed line network has finally shifted in favor of that fiber network growth because OpenServe delivered its first revenue growth year in 9 years, which I think is fantastic. It tells you this is a different business that we're dealing with. They are becoming just as cash generative as Vodacom and MTN. And they've upped their dividend payout ratio, so we're going to get big fat dividends from them as a result.
Yeah, I saw that. The dividend ratio, I thought, as you say, was a biggie. They're making cash. They're going to give it to shareholders. It's a wonderful place to be. So next, switch to Canal Plus. I'm not going to attempt the French pronunciation. I don't do that well at all. They, of course, bought out MultiChoice. They have listed in London, and they're now listing later this morning in a very low-key affair on the JSE. Your thoughts? I mean, I had a quick look through some of the numbers and the like. Is this something that is interesting you beyond the fact that it's always great to have more listings?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and this is a pretty sizable one, which I think is fantastic. This is just a massive turnaround story, though. I think MultiChoice shareholders will be very happy they got out at exactly the right time and at a decent valuation, because now that Canal Plus has MultiChoice within its fold, I think it's realized that some of the structural issues in the MultiChoice business is going to be quite difficult to deal with. So we've already seen some of the steps that they've taken. They've closed down Showmax, and they're trying to move people onto the DStv streaming platform. platform, but it's complex. It's so many different jurisdictions. So I had a look at the valuation. The stock doesn't look expensive. I think that there's some upside there, but you have to trust in that turnaround story coming through. So I'm going to sit on the sidelines with this one, but I'm going to watch it with interest because very similar to the telecoms companies, if these companies start printing cash, they print cash in a big way. So it could be a very nice dividend play eventually, or a company that gives you just a really kind of solid base in your portfolio. But I want to see that turnaround first.
I get your point on that. And this is Pan-African, I was going to say media. It is media. It's TV. Call it what we will. There is a huge attraction to that if they can get it right. Of course, their competition is Netflix, is all the others, Disney, etc. World Cup year might also help them. I remember from MultiChoice, the World Cup years did seem to boost earnings a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think World Cup and big sporting events remains kind of a very strong area for MultiChoice. And then you do get the guys that put on their decoders again. So you will get that benefit. But ultimately, I think that the competitive advantage for MultiChoice, as well as for Canal, for that matter, is local content development. Yeah. Because people want to see people that they can identify with on their TV screens. And that is something that we've started seeing the likes of a Netflix doing, but not at any massive scale, where these guys have the institutional memory to actually do that. So I hope that they don't skimp on that because that's what's going to make people stay once they've turned on their decoders or their subscriptions again.
I get you. 100%. It's that local. It's local content. It's local language. It's local stories. That is the big challenge, perhaps. So Chantal Marx, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. As I said, Canal Plus listing on the JSE, code for the JSE, CNP, and it'll go trading at 9 o'clock. It wasn't a traditional IPO in the sense of selling shares in advance, etc. They obviously are shareholders. There's a shareholder register in London, and they can now sell into our local market. I think it might take a bit of time before we start to get some volume coming through. Always great to see a new listing coming in. And the details are there. You can go and find the sense. The listing announcement had latest results. In fact, yesterday was an LDT for a dividend. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn. If you've got any interest, it's a giant Pan-African media company. Is this something that you're interested in investing into? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
We've got Christo De Wit from Luno Country Manager South Africa on the line. Christo, it was back in August of last year, I think, that you launched tokenized stocks, tokenized ETFs, and you're seeing strong investor interest.
That's right, Simon. Yeah, since we've launched it in August last year, we've now crossed the 50,000 customer mark, which I think is quite monumental when you think about how small the tokenized asset investment world is, relative to traditional investments and then compared to crypto as well. So we're seeing very strong adoption trends in that front. And that gives us a signal that, investors want to look at diversifying their portfolios, across crypto and then this novel tokenized stocks as well.
I want to delve into who's buying, but let's first touch on what are they buying. What are your sort of top buyers that you see on the platform from and 50,000, which is a very, very chunky number?
Yeah, Simon, I think when we look at the top 5 tokenized stocks which people are interested in, it really mirrors what we're seeing in the traditional, stocks investment world. Remember, these are US-based stocks. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing, the most popular ones, of course, Tesla, gold ETFs, NVIDIA, MicroStrategy, and the S&P 500 ETF is up there with the top 5 as well.
So I mean, in a sense, and I mean, we see this, I know when I chat with Charles Savage from Purple, I always think it's going to be the Teslas, the Nvidias, but actually, it's kind of like the old school portfolio. There's gold in there, there's S&P 500 in there. Your customers, your clients are using this as broad, diverse investing strategies.
And that's the thing, right? People are really looking at how can they really have a safe, risk-averse almost investment portfolio. And that speaks to, you know, the tech stocks that, that's similar to crypto, has its ups and downs. But then there's also that hedge that you have in the gold ETFs, you have in the S&P 500 index. So really looking at that diversification and looking more broadly at, okay, how do I expose myself to as much investment opportunities as possible. I think in the same breath, after we've launched the tokenized stock ETFs, we actually created a bundled product combined crypto, 30% crypto allocation, 70% tokenized stock allocation to actually give that diversified options.
It's certainly, we've seen a huge interest in baskets, essentially sort of some
ETFs. Right.
And how big is the range? I mean, you're not doing every New York NASDAQ listed stock or ETF, because that would run into literally tens of thousands. How big is the range being offered?
Well, at the moment, we have more than 50 tokenized stocks on option. We're obviously reviewing as and when these come available. I think as the tokenized stock market evolves, so will we. But we really see that there's mass interest in the bigger ones. And that also then indicates how we allocate these basket products that we offer.
Is this new clients to Luno, or is this existing clients, or a blend of who are looking at the tokenized? Because of course Luno's been around for forever and a day in the crypto space. This is the new product as of August. Is it new? Is it attracting new business as well?
Interestingly enough, we are seeing obviously a lot of our existing customers go in and exploring this. They're familiar with crypto. They're familiar with investing into novel and new technologies and products. But a lot of our customers, a big portion of our tokenized stock customers, are actually coming to the platform and investing in tokenized stocks immediately before investing in crypto. So it is awakening and bringing a new investor base to our platform.
And are they typically younger? Is this, and again, I mean, I'm just being throwing the older folks under the bus to a degree, but my sense would be that they're typically going to be the younger investor.
Yeah, we're seeing younger investors coming to the platform. Actually, interestingly enough, there are a younger cohort than we see with our crypto investments. A majority of our tokenized stocks investors are under 35. And interestingly enough, we see that the average first investment in tokenized stocks is actually higher than the first investment in crypto. We see the average ticket size ranging around just above the 1,500 Rand investment. So that signals also that there's a more mature, a younger audience coming and investing in this asset class, looking at how, you know, this new investment opportunities are actually expanding for them.
And the under 34, I mean, this means that these are crypto native, and this is the crypto generation. They've grown up with Bitcoin as an investment option. You and I will be old enough to remember the days when Bitcoin wasn't on the menu. This generation, it's just always been there.
That's right. And I think they're more familiar with an option like, or something like being tokenized, right? Mm. So I think that word still carries a lot of nuance. Not a lot of people understand, well, what does tokenized mean? Do I really hold the asset? Don't I? And for that younger cohort, I mean, that doesn't really matter. For them, they don't really need to have a share certificate in their pocket when they invest in something. They just need the exposure to it for them to be able to build on their investment portfolio. So that realm of tokenization and something sitting on chain is not really that foreign. And that's why I think the adoption is much higher in the younger cohort.
And it is, because I mean, to answer the rhetorical questions you put there, I mean, you know, I'm getting the price exposure, but I'm not having to buy an entire Nvidia, which, mind you, it's done the share splits and that's only $220 odd, but I don't have to shell out the $220. I'm buying slices and I'm getting price exposure, and to the new generation, that just makes perfect sense.
And on top of that, I think from a South African audience base at this stage, it gives South African investors direct access to US equities. The dividends are reinvested into the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, as it stands with where our regulation is, there's no exchange control being applied to it, which obviously when investing into traditional US stocks through a traditional broker, those would apply. Now, we understand that the regulation landscape in South Africa is ever evolving. Crypto will eventually fall under the purview of exchange control. We see that there's news articles and the regulators are working hard on it at the moment. But these are one of the benefits in the immediate term.
And to your point, 100%. And this is the whole idea of DeFi, which has been a conversation now for, I don't know, maybe as long as a decade. This really is it coming to the fore and being DeFi, doing what it says on the sticker.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what it indicates is that there's a changing categorization or changing behavior that we're seeing in investors.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And to the point, I mean, it is the younger crowd, but I think the older folks, such as I, we start to get used to it. We might find crypto a new concept, but I mean, I've got some crypto, so one day I can try some tokenized. We'll leave it there. Christo de Wit, he's Luno Country Manager for South Africa. Appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management. That's it for today. We're chatting with Alicia Villon yesterday. She MD of Merchant West Investments. We're talking about the Tiger brand results. A modest growth, but the stock is down around a quarter for the year. And what they do have is they have brands galore. And as opposed to AVI, which was always defending margins, Tiger brands kind of let the margins sort of fade away to try and defend on volume. They've kind of gone back to that margin business, which I think is the better operation. We asked you if you thought that there was perhaps some value here. Over 40% said not yet, but soon. You're keeping a close eye on it. A third said, yep, looking great. And then the rest were saying, no, it is still looking expensive. Have your vote, have your say on LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobukle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. It'll help us get new listeners and grow the show. And then we will chat again tomorrow. Who's winning the payments race?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.